We encourage you to take your Bible to the 15th and 16th chapter tonight of the book of Isaiah. And I have placed the title there in the outline as a very appealing title. You really know that for your heart, but I want to show you physically what God really meant and the problem that God found in some nations who are no longer in existence because of their mixture. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your word today. And let his spirit show us the way. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 15. I encourage you to open the Bible, and if you want to have your outline by you, that's fine, but I'm going to make comments on the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 15, Isaiah began a series of rebuttals, of rebukes, against those nations who were around Israel. And you remember Israel, and then you see the Jordan River. And what is Amman today, we're going to talk about that nation tonight, what is Amman today. Now, I want to show you the rebukes, chapter 15, verse 1. Isaiah, chapter 15, verse 1. The burden of Moab. Burden means a heavy load against this nation, Moab, because in the night, Ar, of Moab, is laid waste. Ar is a city, okay? And brought to silence because in the night, Kir, that's another city of Moab, is laid waste and brought to silence. Now you can use your imagination on the map. Amman is right on the center, almost in level with Jerusalem, the same parallel. And Kir and Ar are above in the north. Today is a desert in that area. Look at in verse 5. My heart shall cry out for Moab. His fugitives shall flee unto Zoar and Hafer of 3 years. For by the mountain up of Luhinth, with weeping shall they go it up. For in the day of Horonaim, they shall raise up a cry of destruction. Look in verse 8. For the cry is gone round about the borders of Moab, the hauling thereof unto Eglaim, and the howling thereof unto Berelim. These are cities, actual cities on Amman today. Some of them disappear, and you will see why. Now, beginning in chapter 13, remember Isaiah talks about the judgments against Babylon. Babylon was used of God to judge Israel, and then Babylon thought, oh, we are a great nation, rather than being humble and say, God use us to punish his people. And so he started using judgments against them, and he continues then God with Assyria and Philistia, who was not in the hands of Israel at that time. And now the judgment of Moab is established. That's Amman. So remember Israel, Jerusalem, the Jordan River across, no more than 50 miles is Amman. And this area is going to be in judgment. And the judgment is explained to us in chapter 15 and in chapter 16. Now, who are the people of Amman? Who are the Moabites? We need to go to the book of Genesis for that. And we go to Genesis chapter 19, a very disgraceful chapter in describing these particular events. And I'm going to read from verse 32 in Genesis chapter 19 to verse 38 so that you get to know who are the Moabites or the people, descendant of this nation, who is called today Amman. Genesis chapter 19, verse 32. Come, let us make our father drink wine. This is one of the daughters of Lot. Let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. He has no male son, so the women thought, we have a better plan than God, and we're going to give children to our daddy. Verse 33, and they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, for when, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, and that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. It's called an incest today. Verse 37. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. Now you get an idea of what God is going to deal tonight. Moab is half Jew and half sin, all right? He's a Jew. The people in Ammon, they are Jew. But they hate the Jewish people. But they are Jew. They are sons of Jewish people. But they're born in the wrong conception, all right? And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So the king of Ammon and so on, they are Jew. They are the sons of Jewish people, but they are sons in the wrong position and in the wrong way. So now you see what is coming up in this chapter. So in chapter 15 and 16, Isaiah described three things, I say, in the outline. One, the sufferings of Moab, and I'm going to deal with that. And then secondly, the sin of Moab. And then thirdly, the sorrow over Moab. And then the lesson that God tells us. And now remember, these people are true and true Jew people. But God do not count them Jew. We want to find out why. All right? Now, Let's look at, if you don't want to look in the paper, I have the scripture. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9, I want to reflect with you that God is a God of mercy and compassion. He's not a God of vengeance and so on. And there is a reason why God destroyed the Moabites completely. There is no Moabites in existence anymore. And why God allowed Ben-Ammi to be a man. There is a reason. But God is a God of compassion. Let's look in some scripture that I found in the New Testament. In 2 Peter 3:9, for example, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. The promise is the coming of the Lord. But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so when you say, why the Lord is not coming? Because there are more people to be saved. All right? It's not the Lord forgot about us. No. The key of the church is to preach the Lord Jesus Christ alone, like I did this morning. Christ, Christ, Christ. Because God is going to come when the last person in God's plan is going to be saved. So the only way to be saved is preaching Christ. And so this text, 2 Peter 3:9, justify that. They say that the Lord is not slacking. He does not say, well, I wonder what I'm going to do. He knows what he's going to do, and he's delaying the coming of Christ, because when he comes personally, yes, then there is no more salvation after that. All right? I want you to see John chapter 3 and verse 17, and these scriptures are all from the New King James. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. The Reformed churches, some of the Reformed churches, some of the people who follow the Reform of the 1800s and 1600s, that read wrong our fathers in the faith, and they only preach the damage of God and the toughness of God. But look at these texts. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the message of the church is not a message of condemnation, but it's a message of open forgiveness from God. So we have to tell them the truth. If you do not take God, you end up in hell. Yes, we have to do that. But hell is not our message. Christ in heaven is our message, and that's what I think. Also, in Psalm 78, used by many reformers as a psalm of vengeance, when you keep reading the psalms, you really rejoice. And verse 38 said, "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them," talking about Israel. "Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up the wrath." Even against Israel, God has compassion. So I came to this conclusion to begin with the chapter because it's very tough as we look into the chapter. The God desire is one thing, that the people of God must choose to love him. Remember, if you obey him, what do? We obey his commandment. That's God. God wants people really to repent in their sin, to turn from their sin to Christ so they can have freedom and move on. God wants us to worship God completely freely. And not because we have to, but because we want to. You are here tonight, not because you have to be here, it's because you want to be here. You see the difference? You can leave and go home and have some mistakes and things like that. But you did not. Maybe you do it later, but no, did not. All right? Because why? Because you want to be here. Now, that's the way. You know, we all have something to do on Sunday afternoon. We all have something to move on. But we did not. See, I have invitations from large Spanish churches to go. Spanish churches meet at the evening service. And there is a very large Spanish church in Bernal and Monterrey, a little bit in Santa Teresa. And their pastor is getting older, 65. They don't know I'm 75. He said, "Our pastor is getting older. We need a young man like you." I thank them. But I don't tell them. Even the pastor said, "Oh, you, how young the Lord keep you." I said, "Thank you for that." But see, come in the evening and teach us. And that would be a splendor. You have a church of maybe 700, 800 people meeting together in the night. And I know they study the Bible, English and Spanish, at the same time. But you know something? My desire is not to be there. My desire is to be here with you. See? Even if it's three people. I be you, because we have a commitment. We say, we meet at this hour, we meet at this hour, and at this hour, and now no fool not to avoid God's commitment. See? And so I want you to tell you that God is no vengeance against Moab because they made an incest and so on. You're going to see why Benani has been forgiven. It is because the people reject God's plan that God is upset on. All right? So we look forward to move on. Moab will cry to Judah for help. They want Judah to help them, but they do not want Judah's God. And I'm on page 49 if you're in the outline. So here is the problem with Moab, and I put it in a nutshell there. Moab said, "Judah, we love your God. Come and help us. We love you. Come and help us, but we don't want your God." See, a lot of people I turn off in McDonald's who said, "Will you help me?" I said, "Well, let me show you what God said." "No, I don't want to have that." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, I cannot talk to you." "Well, why? Don't you love people?" "Yes, I love people. God loves people, but you got to listen to God." "No." "Well, then you make your choice. You're going to hell in your own way." Ooh, they get mad. You know, Spanish, they get expressive. Sometimes the manager of the store has to intervene because the conversation is so loud. But you know, it is so important that people know straightforward that God is not a puppet that you manage back and forth. You go to God with repentance, you got it. You go to God, you ignore God, you got it too, but in a different way. All right, so let's find out the sufferings of Moab in chapter 15 and in verse 1 in Isaiah. Chapter 15, Isaiah, verse 1. The burden against Moab, said the New King James Version, because in the night Ar, is the city of Moab, is laid waste and destroyed, because in the night Kir, another city of Moab, is laid waste and destroys. The cities of Ar and the city of Kir would be destroyed in one night. Wow. That reminds you of Sodom and Gomorrah, don't it? Remember? In one night. In other words, look at in verse 2, in Isaiah 15, verse 2. He has gone up to the temple and Dibon, to the high places to weep. Moab will wail over Nebo and over Medeba. On all their heads will be baldness, and every bird cut off. And now, you remember baldness? That means a sadness in the book of Leviticus. So these people were Jewish. They knew what to do when things were wrong, and they shaved themselves because it will be a sadness. So, number one, God said Moab is going to suffer. Number two, the people will flee to their temples and gods for help. They will not flee to God, Elohim. They will go to their temples, okay? The people mourn and weep as city after city fall. It's like in America. Money after money and after investment fall, but they will not go to God. They will want to borrow more money. The same thing. It's the same thing. Everyone will wail, weeping bitterly. Hezbon and Eleal will cry out. Their voices shall be heard as far as the south. Hagas. Look at Isaiah chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. What the Bible said. In their streets they shall gird themselves with sackcloth. Remember, who's going to do that? No Gentile, a Jew. So they had the traditions, okay? They had the traditions. In their streets, they shall gird themselves with shat cloth. I heard a pastor this morning that used to listen to the Methodist Church in early in the morning in Florida. He resigned after 38 years. He retired. And a new pastor came in. And the only thing he said, because of the sacraments and because of the order of the Methodists and because of this and because all the things of, nobody is going into the Bible anymore. In their street they shall gird themselves with sackcloth. That's an imitation of sorrow. On the tops of their houses and in their streets, everyone shall howl, weeping abundantly. Verse 4, and Heshbon shall cry, and Eleale, their voice shall be heard even unto Jahath. Therefore, the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry out. His life shall be grievous unto him. So this is very, very serious. It's not that the people ignore God, as the people say. They feel the pressure, but they don't run to God. They run to their own. Okay? Number three, the soldiers and armed citizens become faint-hearted and cried out of fear. Look at verse 5. My heart will cry out for Moab. This is God speaking. His fugitives shall flee to Zoar. Remember the city of light. Like a three-year-old heifer. You know, a three-year-old heifer in Hebrew. You know what I mean? I mean, boy, he is a macho. You know what a macho is? A strong man. All right? So a three-year-old heifer was used for reproduction. He is at the top of his level. The top, top, top. Okay? And that's what it is. And for by ascent of Luhith, they will go up with weeping. For in the way of Horonim, they will raise up a cry of destruction. In other words, everybody is panicking. Something is coming up. Now, fourthly, even God weeps of the refugees. And I saw that at the beginning of verse 5. My heart will cry out for Moab. Look at the compassion of God. He's not enjoying that you reject him. He had no pleasure in the death of the sinner. Remember the scripture said. So he's not enjoying that you say, I don't care about God. God even feels sorry for you. All right. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? In the days of judgment, when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, Lot plead for Zoar. You know, remember he said, Lord, please let me go to that city. Now it becomes a place of refuge for Lot's children. Now, I was impressed by that. Remember in Genesis when Lot tried to move out of the city that he was on, and he said, "Let me go to Zoar. Do not destroy it." And now that compassion is paid off. His grandchildren are being protected by there. Now. Page 50, I'm going to go in that. Why these people who are actually unbelievers, who are Jew unbelievers, are crying? Why are they crying? They weep because their land and water supply are taken and destroyed. Not because the lack of God is against them. Just they weep because their land and water supplies are destroyed. Their land becomes a desert. And northern of Amman is a desert today. There is no water, no rain. Now, see, do you understand what really is happening here? Look at in chapter 15 of Isaiah and in verse 6. For the waters of Nimrin will be desolate. Nimrin is on the top of the Jordan. For the green grass has withered away. The grass fails. There is nothing green anymore. You know, you drive in California, you bring somebody from the East Coast, and we have at home a lot of guests from the East Coast. And as we drive and we cross this section of Highway 101 between San Jose and Morgan Hill, and they look into the hills, and they never fail. They say, what went wrong here? See, in Oregon, when the East Coast, it's all green. What went wrong here? Can you imagine something like this? It is. Now, why, verse 6 in chapter 15 tell us the truth. Why these people are crying? They weep because they will lose all their possession, except the little they can carry on and wait and go on and flee. And why America in the newspaper is crying today? Because they are losing the comfort of having money and being number one in the world and so on. Not because they left God. All right. Now look at verse 7. Therefore, the abundance they have gained and what they have laid up, they will carry away to the brook of the willows. Moab weep. From the north to the south and east, all over the land, as they cannot escape the onslaught of the Assyrians. They wade across the willows brook into Edom. Assyria, out of the blue, decide to go to Saudi Arabia. They don't decide to fight with Moab, but Assyria had to come right on this side of the Jordan to go to Saudi Arabia. And in doing so, destroy these people. Look at verse 8 and verse 9 in chapter 15. For the cry has gone all around the borders of Moab. It's wailing to Eglin and it's wailing to Beer Elim. For the waters of Dimon will be full of blood, because I will bring more upon Dimon, lions upon him who escapes from Moab, and on the remnant of the land. Wow. The lions, I thought that the lions may be a symbolic reference in respect to Judah. Beer Elim, the wells of the strong ones, means Beer Elim, And the well was dug in way in the times of Numbers. These wells was dug by the Jewish people a long time ago. It was a refreshing time for them. And now they're going to lose everything, according to this verse, they have, all because their heart was not with God. You take it nationally and you take it personally. When I talk to people in distress, I learn because of psychology, and I will share this with Pastor Thomas. Oh, the other day, Pastor Thomas took a good test. He sat in my office. What it was, Saturday, you know, Saturday. He sat in my chair, and I sit in the patient chair, and we were talking together. And it was good. I noticed that my seat is too low and then too down, and I blame Brother Plika today. You're too heavy. You're getting my seat back. But it was a nice talk together that we have, heart to heart, as we install a new equipment in my office with super computers and so on, that I can go into every university. And it was a great chat together, two men. He asked me a question, well, what is the help of being a psychologist or a psychiatrist? And the only thing I learned, really, I told him, is to learn to make questions. I learned to make questions. So in psychiatry and in psychology, the key to resolve a problem is to know the truth, which you will never know. The medical book said that. And so the only way to know is through a series of questions. And you will discover contradictions. You will discover things. So to help the person out. And here's what happened with these people. They had such a blessing when Israel passed by. And remember, two of the sons of Israel remained there. And there was a beautiful land. And now it's gone. The waters were the most pure waters and sweet waters in the area, but they are no more now. And the word of God is like a well, you know, it's pleasant, but you cannot ignore or forget the word of God or become sour to you. It becomes really tough to you, all right? Now, Assyria is the country that God has in mind, would devastate the entire land, but not completely destroy. God does this all the time. Remember, God punished Israel 70 years, and Jeremiah, I am tempted to study Lamentations after this in the night. Jeremiah went to, in Lamentation, Jeremiah said, it is desolate, but it is not finished. And that's what God does. He punishes you strong, but he leave you alive to see if you repented. And that's what happened here, see. Jeremiah preached about this in Jeremiah 48 and so on in a marvelous way. Now, I want to go into the scene of Moab. So why God punished Moab? God punished Moab because of their disobedience and ignorance about God. And I tell you, each time there are counsel people and they are way to speak to me the truth, I found that the key problem is not business, it is not this, they ignore to live for God in their life. And you think that God will ignore you. No, if you're a child of God, God will punish you. And it's important. Now, what is the scene of Moab? It's described in chapter 16 of the book of Isaiah. In verse 6, we have heard of the pride of Moab. You see that? In the King James said, we have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud. He is very proud. Of his haughtiness or arrogancy and his pride and his wrath. But his lies shall not be so. In other words, what was the problem of Moab? They were proud. We made our way. We are number one. And may God always refrain us from telling people we are number one. See, I was in Juggler Box today. And lo and behold, comes the pastor of Bible Church, my good boy, David. I taught him in high school. When I was in the seminary, I taught Spanish in high school, and he was one of my students in high school in Fremont. He said, oh, Pastor, he was in shorts. Pastor, he said, I know his father, and we know his father. He spoke on the ladies. His mother spoke to the ladies. We were very close. Our people were baptized in his father's church in San Ramon. We were close like that, man from Brigham Young University. And he said, well, I said, each time my office, the Bible church has an office where our property is across the street. They rent $7,000 to $8,000 a month property over there for their offices. And he said, when are you going to build that castle? See? And I said, well, we don't know yet if the castle will be built there, or maybe we buy half of Morgan Hill and we do it. And his wife will do it like that. So, oh yeah, we will do it all cash. Oh, he said, you see, I know what his question was. You see, and because the people who have the largest building has most prestige than the people who have smaller building. I said, David, you know me, come on. You don't know God, Pastor Otero. He said, yes, I know. He said, you're going to do it in the right way, he told me. I was just, his wife, I know her father from Argentina, from Missionary Mercado. I know this family for a long time. She said, we know you, Pastor. My father always spoke of you. He said, you're very simple, but very powerful. He said, no, me, it's God. I wish people don't talk about me, talk about God. See? Now, look, he said, you are very proud. Now, you want to know what pride does? Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. And look with me in verse 2. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. Look at what pride does. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Now, let's move to the same book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 18. I think that's what it is. Chapter 16 and verse 18. Yeah, here's what it is. Look, pride goes before destruction, and a hefty spirit before a fall. And look at in Isaiah. Now, we go back to Isaiah 16 and verse 6. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud. What do you expect then? Destruction. All right. Now, the sorrow of Moab is described, going back to Isaiah chapter 16, verse 7 to 12. And I'm going to read verse 7 to 8 in Isaiah chapter 16. Therefore, Moab shall wail for Moab. Everyone shall wail. For the foundations of Kir Hareseth you shall mourn. Surely they are striken. For the fields of Heshbon languish, and the vine of Simmah. The lords of the nations have broken down its choice plants, which have reached to Jazer and wander through the wilderness. Her branches are stretched out. They are gone over the sea. You see, Simba, what is the best wine in America? Does anybody know? Let me see if I know. Okay, tell me. I know.
It is Georges Latour.
Yeah, okay. He drinks wine. All right, here's what it is. The best wine in America, okay? Now, Simba was the best wine of Israel. I mean, people will buy this wine. And look at what they say. Here in verse 7, and the wine of Simba, in other words, everything will be destroyed. That was the nation pride of Moab. Like Chile is the best wine of South America because of the high mountains, 21,000 feet, 28,000 feet, and you see the spread over there. So in the side of Argentina too, they have it. And they, when you go to a restaurant in Mexico, you said, I want a bottle of wine from Chile. You are willing to pay $180 for that. Thank God I don't drink. And then because the wine, they say, those who knows wine, is a good wine. Now, imagine Simba was the top of the top. See, that was the national emblem, and God's going to take it. You know what that means? It's not going to take the wine of America. It's going to take the thing you are proud of. God's going to take it out. He's going to do it. Now, look at verse 9 to 11. Therefore, I will bewail the vine of Simma, with the weeping of Jazer. I will drench you with my tears, O Heshbon and Eleel, for Babel cries have fallen over your summer fruits and your harvest. Gladness is taken away, and joy from the plainful field. In the vineyards there will be no singing, nor will there be shouting. No treaders will tread out wine in the press. I have made their shouting cease. Therefore my heart shall resound like a harp for Moab, and my inner being for Kir Heres. Boy, it's complete destruction. Look at the next verse, verse 12. And it shall come to pass when it's seen that Moab is weary on the high place, that he will come to his sanctuary to pray, but he will not prevail. In other words, they're still going to their own God. Once again, the Moabite people pray to their idols. All these things happen, and they do not. Look at America. Economically, we're a disaster. And what do? We approve to teach the horrible sin of homosexuality to the people in grammar school. See, they don't do anything properly. I like to read verse 13 and 14. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning Moab since that time. But now the Lord has spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of a hired man, the glory of Moab will be despised with all the great multitude, and the remnant will be very small and feeble. So a man is very small and feeble and has no army. He has a patrol only. So Isaiah was sad about this. You know, one thing we have to know, sin breaks the heart of God. But God will not overlook sin. God is going to punish the sin. Here's my conclusion. I look into the whole thing and say, how the whole thing started? See, that's when you're a psychologist and you listen to 3 or 4 sessions, then you go over your notes and you question this, how the whole thing started. I remember I was in court one time testifying with a lawyer on behalf, and I was for the court, and the lawyer, the defense lawyer, attorney, was a member of Liberty Baptist, and the church asked me to be part of this, but the judge, when you are registered, hire you. And he said, listen carefully what the attorney say. The attorney said, well, the man was killed, but look, the man is right-handed, and the man was killed with the left-handed. And so the judge asked me in front of everybody, tell me, doctor, what do you think? He said, I think the man killed the person. You do? Yeah, I think so. Whether right hand or left hand doesn't make a difference. If you kill somebody, you kill somebody. You should not have less punishment for this or for the other. I say, you know, Your Honor, what to do. But it's one thing is this. This man started right because he lost his job. And rather than going to God, he went to himself to rob. That's the problem here. And he was a believer. And I was in court against him. And the judge said, well, it's so clear. We don't have nothing more to do. He said, and the defense attorney was jumping. He said, well, I have nothing more to do. It's very clear. If a man knows God and he doesn't turn to God, well, he turned to himself. And that's what he did. And this is 71, 72. Today, I will be in jail for saying that. But, you know, the same thing here. Lot's children were the product of incest. So you're going to start wrong and hope to end up right. Okay? Is that clear? Anthony, remember. Greg, Junior, remember. Maghain, your friend, remember. You don't start wrong and everything goes well and think that everything will go well. Please. 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 Now, in the Bible, in 2 Timothy 4:10, I know I'm out over time. I hope we can get this in the day. This is what happened. It said, Demas loved this world and left Paul. You cannot love God and be here in church. Because at a given point, you're going to leave us and hurt yourself. Either you love God, and when you love God, it's tough. But God's going to support you. And nobody around you will agree with you. But you just do what God said. Moab inheritance lay east of the Jordan River and the Promised Land. Modern Moab is not the Holy Land. You know something? The land of Moab is a desert today in the north of Ammon. Moab is like people living at the border of the church. They come to the church service, they are with us, they give an offering and so on, but when they get out of this door, they do and live in the way they want to. That is Moab. You cannot expect blessings if you walk on the edge and you always you make decisions on the wrong place. So be sure, if you want to be in church, be sure that you are going to obey God. Otherwise, God is going to destroy you for playing with him. That's the message. Somebody told me, he said, you're becoming a little tougher. Well, is not tough, the scripture? No, against us, against false things. May God bless us and give us a tender heart to know when we are wrong and come back to him. Thank you, Father. Thank you. It is tough. It is serious. But it is beautiful because you always love us. And Lord, I pray that God's people wake up and follow you all the way. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.